The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, produced by Shway Media, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We are your friendly neighborhood podcast. We enjoy drinking cold beverages and talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. You know me, folks. My name is Michael Sizemore. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. Follow the show at Brews and the Boys. And with me, as always, he's the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour, folks. My colleague at Blogging the Boys, the Walter Matthau to my Jack Lemmon. He is the Arn Anderson to my Ric Flair. But we're not doing too much shit-talking right now because we're sitting at home during the playoffs. But we are excited. You can follow him at Tom Ryle BTB. Mr. Tom Ryle, welcome to the show.
Hey!
We are back. We are talking. I am mad at my computer, but we are fine now. We are calm and we are fine. And we're happy because the Cowboys fired Scott Linehan. What do you think, Tom?
Oh, You hate to say you're thrilled to see somebody lose their job, but yeah, I was thrilled to see them make the move. It was one of those things that, you know, for a couple of days, it was like everybody's going like, well, is he going to keep his job? Is he going to keep his job? Jason Garrett muddied the waters when he went out, and I think he was on autopilot, just giving out his stock answers and not really thinking about what he said. He knew that they were going to sit down and have meetings. He probably knew that Linehan was hanging on by the thinnest of threads and it was about to be snapped. Yeah. And you know, so that whole thing didn't panic me as much as it did a lot of people. And then, of course, you know, it wasn't very long until they came out with the announcement that Scott Linehan was moving on to whatever his future holds. You know, and now the question is, are they really going with Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator? If you read on social media, it sounds like it's a done deal, but the team hasn't really said anything. I guess they're taking the holiday off on Monday, so nothing official seems to have come out. At least I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and that's also what I was going to ask, Tom, because I looked and looked and looked, and I've read about the Kellen Moore stuff, but I haven't seen any official word from anybody. So where were people getting their initial reports? Just from the Ian Rappaport tweet?
I'm seeing that Fisher's talking about it. Mike Fisher's talking about it. Uh-huh. A lot of the people like Todd Archer, Clarence Hill Jr., they're all saying that it's going to happen. They're also reporting that John Kitna has been hired as the quarterback's coach, which was Kellen Moore's old job, and yet he's being kept with the staff, so it seems apparent he's going to be doing something else. But once again, the Kitna thing is being treated as even more solid. Some word apparently coming from the NFL offices that he's getting the job. Yeah. So it's all a little bit, it's kind of fuzzy right now, and we're looking for a little clarity, but all the indications are that just like Scott Linehan's firing was coming, that Kitna's arrival is coming, and that, you know, Kellen Moore is going to be assuming a new role, and it's really uncertain what that's going to be. Play calling now, people are talking like Jason Garrett is going to be the play caller, which to me says that we're really looking at a situation where Garrett is going to be the de facto offensive coordinator, with someone, probably Kellen Moore, as his chief assistant in that, to help him develop game plans and to pick which plays are going to have in the playbook. You know, maybe add some new pages, take some of the old ones out, and that it's really going to be really Garrett's offense now, even more than it has been. He has had his offensive philosophy in place with Linehan as the offensive coordinator, and it seems that this last year showed that there was a growing friction between the two, something of a disconnect.
Yeah, and you know, there's rumors and innuendo about all this, but it's starting to seem like some of them are a little clearer. That, for one, we know that they weren't on the greatest, this coaching staff wasn't on the greatest of terms with Linehan towards the end of the season. We can probably put it together that Nussmeier and that Kellen Moore had a lot more to do with the offensive game planning with Jason Garrett. So if Jason Garrett goes back to calling the plays, you know, he's done that before for the Cowboys. And honestly, if you go back and look at the statistical analysis of those Jason Garrett-led teams, there really wasn't a reason to ever take it away from him. It was just more that the Joneses wanted him to be a walk-around head coach.
Yeah, I think that goes back to they felt he needed to take care of some of the other business of being a head coach. And now we can look at it. He's had it that way for several years. He's got the organization in the shape he wants it. He's created his culture and everything.
Yeah.
Now I don't think he needs to devote the time and energy he did to that the Joneses felt he needed to. And now with Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard taking care of the defense, that seems to be in good hands. They've got a problem on special teams that, you know, they're still going to need to address, which is just kind of faded into the background. But I think we can see something being done there in the future. I don't know if they're going to keep O'Quinn, the current special teams coordinator, but I think at the very least they're going to bring in somebody to help him try to get things straightened out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Garrett is going to be focused a lot more on the offense. And I think what we're going to see is titles that don't necessarily reflect how it really works, because it's still going to be a collaborative thing. I think Garrett's going to sit down with his main people on the offense as his assistants. That's going to be Kellen Moore, Nussmeier, and you're going to have Brown for the running game. Mm-hmm. And they're going to sit down and together design the game plan, figure out what they're going to go, come up with the script for the opening of the game, and Garrett will take over the play calling, probably with Moore as his helper to help him.
And you when you saw Nussmeier towards the end of the year, Tom, you know, I remember when that hire was made, nobody really gave it much thought. Because he was taking over tight ends and Jason Witten wasn't there. And it took those tight ends a little while to show up. But you see towards the end of the season, Blake Jarwin and all those guys, and they're running crossing routes, crossing patterns and things that you hadn't seen them do before. And they're getting open and basically giving Dak Prescott an open option in the middle of the field that he did not have before. And so you look at that and you say, well, maybe Nussmeier had a lot to do with that. And Kellen Moore is also somebody that Dak likes. And that's what it comes down to me, is that the quarterback, you mentioned all the guys getting together, Tom, and coming up with a game plan. The quarterback's a big part of that. Dak Prescott is a huge part of that. And I think that he really likes Kellen Moore, even though the rest of the internet world does not. And John Kitna is about having somebody in there that Jason Garrett likes and trusts and thinks is a good veteran voice for Dak Prescott, who also was a big physical quarterback, you know? So that's what they're kind of looking at. It's not so much, okay, we got to change everything. That's what everybody wants. You know, on Twitter, everybody wants the Cowboys to just change philosophies. Okay, well, Jason Garrett is not going to change who he is. He is that guy, but he's not necessarily, like I said yesterday, he's not a Eric Coryell Puritan like Linehan really was. And you know, we're starting to hear rumblings, Tom, that Linehan was kind of being disfavored in the locker room and stuff by some of the players and everything, because when they asked him to change, he kind of went into a shell. So
yeah,
they didn't like that. Jason Garrett didn't like that, and the rest of the coaching staff definitely didn't like that, and that's why they came up with something different.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this actually shapes up. Like, I'm wondering who they're going to wind up putting up in the booth. I think that's going to be probably Moore or Nussmeier who will be in the booth getting the overhead look to see what's going on and talking the headset to Garrett and tell him what they're seeing and, you know, what they can attack on the defense. So, you know, and I think Kitna's job is going to be the one to sit down and help Dak with getting the game plan installed with him.
Yeah.
And with still more probably having a lot of input on that. But I think Kitna's going to primarily take that job over. You know, Kitna's had some low-level coaching experience for years now. He was a high school coach for quite some time.
When they pulled him out of retirement the last time he was coaching.
Yeah. And so I think we're going to see him having a significant role. We're just not maybe going to be able to perceive it as clearly as we would like to, because one thing that's not going to change with the Cowboys is that Garrett likes to run an opaque organization.
Yes.
He doesn't like you to see how the sausage is made.
No, he doesn't. But so, you know, I wanted to get it. I wanted to talk a little bit about Scott Linehan. I wanted to talk about the reason, because I wrote a column this week, and just looking at the stats of this offense under Scott Linehan over the last 3 years and why this has, you know, why this relationship deteriorated. And it's really because it was dysfunctional. It was a dysfunctional relationship, you know, from the get-go, because you had, you know, Linehan is probably not the right coordinator for Dak Prescott, the play caller, I should say, for Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott's probably not the right quarterback for Linehan. And so you look at everything that they have, but the reason I said it came to this, Tom, is because if you look back how this was always going to kind of end this way, and you look at how you look at how everyone, you know, you're stating, people are like, well, is it fair to just blame one man, you know, Scott Linehan, for all their offensive struggles? Well, you know, it's probably not, you know, it's probably not fair, but who cares about fair? Linehan asked and begged for that big stick in that room. He wanted it. He turned over so many position coaches. He was influential in the release of Dez Bryant, and he was a huge proponent of that receiver by committee approach. And almost every decision he had, Tom, was under the microscope at the halfway point when the Cowboys were sitting there at 3-5.
And not looking good.
No. Walked back the hiring he had of Paul Alexander. They replaced that with Mark Colombo, who you mentioned last week, re-signed.
Yes.
They went after Amari Cooper and said, you know, we were wrong about receivers. We were wrong that we do need a nice receiver. It'd be good to have a number one receiver for Dak Prescott. And you look at what they did towards the end of the year. Yeah, you talk about the total yards was, you know, they were top five. Passing, they were top five. Rushing, they were top 10. Points per game, they were top 10. Total touchdowns, you know, they were top 10. But they still were just kind of surviving in dysfunction.
Yeah. And you have to also, just as a side note, mention that the defense kind of had a bit of a slump towards the end and was not doing as well, which I don't know where you can pin that exactly. But mainly, if you go back to the offense, this is – you have to look at the dysfunction that we are seeing reported repeatedly. I think that was a huge key, and we just have to look at that. That had to be taken care of, and Linehan was the source of it.
Yeah, and you know, the Cowboys in 2016, Dak Prescott's first year, they were in offense efficiency. They were eighth in the league. Well, they dropped to 11th last year. And then they just took a nosedive to 20th this year. So you could see, like, numbers and things, and those can often, you know, skew your view of what you see. But if you look at the Cowboys offense this year and you put it up against some of the top offenses in the National Football League, the Cowboys are minus 1,300 from the leader. That's 1,300 in total yards.
Yeah.
That would take the Cowboys four games to reach that. They were 1,700 behind in passing yards. That's seven games that it would take the Cowboys to reach that mark. They were 600 yards in behind in rushing, which would have been five games. They scored two touchdowns less per game on average than top offenses did. Yeah. And they were less, you know, they were 25% less efficient in the red zone. And you have Dak and Zeke, who are both in the top 10 in red zone touchdowns.
And look, let's look at another lesson that I think the playoffs have taught us. You win games by having an offense that can move down the field and score points, and a defense that can get some stops when you need it.
Yes, it's not necessarily about being that, you know, 1985 Chicago Bears defense. That's not going to be allowed in this league anymore.
Not with the way the rules are and with the schemes that are coming in. And we hopefully are going to see some changes in I guess it's more like emphasis. Like, I think maybe the idea of, you know, running, having to establish the run is going to be de-emphasized a little bit and use the passing game to find you opportunities when the running game can gas the other team.
Yes.
I mean, that's the hope. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's what I hope is going to develop from this. And there are some things through this whole history of Scott Linehan getting dismissed that could indicate that that's one of the things they're looking at doing.
And another thing they're looking at doing, Tom, is getting Dak Prescott's legs involved. Because
yes,
when Dak is running the football, when you get him involved in the running game, you mm-hmm. make Ezekiel Elliott all the more dangerous.
And you only need 2, 3, 4 runs by Prescott built into the game plan, because now that's suddenly a threat all the time.
Yeah.
And so that you don't have to put him at huge risk. You just have to be willing to take some calculated risk with him to help make the offense click. And I think that's going to happen. And another thing that I saw mentioned that I think is really key is that of the offensive coaches now, he's got 4 former quarterbacks that speak the language, that know what to tell him, that can get in his ear and help him figure out how to maximize himself.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of why Kitna was brought on board, to yes. add another one of those, someone who Garrett knows well, who he's worked with.
Yeah, we're going to
go ahead.
Sorry, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back on the Brews and the Boys podcast here, we're going to discuss that, Tom, about their quarterbacks that they have added to the coaching staff. We're also going to discuss last night's incredible performance by former quarterback Tony Romo, and we are going to talk about just the playoffs in general and get a general idea of where we are for the Super Bowl. We will be right back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. Are back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. He is Tom Ryle. You can find him at Tom Ryle BTB. I am Mr. Sizemore. You can follow me at Mr. Sizemore on Twitter. We are talking about the Dallas Cowboys hiring John Kitna. They have Kellen Moore in tow. They also have Doug Nussmeier, Jason Garrett. A lot of quarterbacks in there to talk to Mr. Dak Prescott. Now, some may say too many cooks in the kitchen. Some may say this is exactly what Dak Prescott needs, is somebody that can teach him, that can show him how to even, you know, better, you know, just clean up some of his mechanics and stuff. Dak had a great season. I mean, he was pretty phenomenal on, you know, down the stretch there, Tom. And
yes.
And he is only going to get better with the right voices in his ear. He seems to love Kellen Moore, and we know Jason Garrett has an affinity for John Kitna. But John Kitna was there. He backed up Tony Romo. John Kitna and Romo liked him too. John Kitna has seen a lot, and he can help. He helps young quarterbacks, and he could especially help a young quarterback like Dak Prescott with some mobility.
And let's talk a little bit about one of the myths out there about Dak's rookie year.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
People talk about how Tony Romo mentored him. No, Tony Romo was not mentoring him. Tony Romo saw him as the guy that was threatening his job.
Yes, and that's okay, because Brett Favre did that. You know, a lot of quarterbacks have done that before.
Yeah, but what was the truth of the matter was, is that he had Kellen Moore and Mark Sanchez that were mentoring him and helping him develop and helping him get through that really remarkable rookie season he had. And that, that's why Kitten, I think, is back in the mix, is because they want someone to come in with that Mark Sanchez kind of role that has been out there, that's played the game, that knows how it works at the pro level, that of all of the quarterbacks that are on staff, Kitten was by far the most successful in his actual career.
So yes, and that, he also had a little bit of that Dak Prescott in him, like the leadership quality.
Yes.
Players loved him. Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, his rookie year was with John Kitna mainly. And it's because Kitna, he was a fighter. He was always going to fight to keep you in those games. And they had, 5-3 down the end of the stretch in Jason Garrett's first, interim year as the head coach there at the halfway point. So, Pretty good move, I think, for the Cowboys to bring in John Kitna. It's the right voice, and it's the voice that Jason Garrett trusts.
Yes, and so it's going to be very interesting to see how this firms up, which I'm kind of assuming we're going to have a really good picture of this by the Pro Bowl, because the Cowboys are going there as the staff for the NFC. So we're going to have this all laid out here in the next day or two. Maybe by the time people are listening to this, it's all going to be sorted out, and we're going to have it all labeled, and we'll know what the actual titles are. And I can see some creative use of titles, Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator, Nussmeier may be assistant head coach, or
they're gonna hire me as bullshit extraordinaire.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go in there.
Maybe Nussmeier will be the running game coordinator. Yeah. Just that kind of stuff. They're just gonna hand out some labels, give some people some pay raises, because obviously Moore is in line for probably a fairly significant jump in pay, and that's one thing that Jerry Jones, I don't think, is shy about throwing around, is throwing money onto his coaching staff to keep people happy and keep the people he wants,
Yeah.
So, I think a lot of that.
There was one thing I wanted to get into though, Tom, about these coaches stuff is that. Can we also just talk about how ridiculous it is that people are suggesting Tony Romo be the offensive coordinator? That, and most of the time we're hearing it from people that are saying, well, Jason Garrett was a lifetime backup quarterback who wasn't very good. How could he be a great coach? Guys, Bill Belichick was a terrible football player.
And when is the last time a really good NFL quarterback went on to a really successful coaching career?
It doesn't happen because they don't want. Yeah, let me leave my cushy job where I just showed the world that I am the next.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the next John Madden. Let me leave my cushy job where I only have to work once or twice a week, and let me come out of there so I can work, until I go bald, doing a coaching job where I don't even get paid much. Like, no, that is not. What people just, Tony Romo. Guys, he's not predicting people's plays, okay?
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he is reading what he sees.
Yes.
And
he's putting you in the mind of a quarterback.
And he was so good at that on the field. He just brings the added element of being able to communicate that with such, vigor and so
animated.
Clearly.
He's very animated. And you know what? Honestly, Tom, we shouldn't be talking about Tony Romo as an offensive coordinator. We should be talking about him as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's true. Because, that would be if he had some way to keep the helmet phones on secretly up until the snap, because a lot of what he's seeing and calling is happening well after those helmets get shut off.
Yes.
And people no longer have them in their ear. So you can't really say that would even translate at all to being a coach. But like you said, here's a man who loves his golf game. Mm-hmm. Who has a beautiful wife and family and a palatial residence that now he gets to enjoy all of those things.
With a slide in it, a slide. That's awesome.
Yeah, and meanwhile he gets to see if maybe he can sneak into some golf tournaments someday and show up on Sunday afternoons.
He is like loving that job at CBS.
Oh, like, yeah, And CBS is going to make sure that nobody is going to pay to draw him away with pay.
Yeah.
Because
There's only two people in the world that hate Tony Romo doing that job, and that's the Chris Sims and his father.
Well, Britt Musburger doesn't seem to think much of it either.
Oh, well, who cares? But yeah. but anyway, you know, you don't have to be a good football player to be a good coach. You can know what is going on. You can understand concepts. Kellen Moore, in his heart of hearts, knew that he was never going to be a starting NFL quarterback. But yeah. That's not what his goal was. Kellen Moore's goal was to coach like his father. That's what he wanted to do.
And he always was praised for his football intellect.
Yes.
And you know, Tony Romo has that, but he doesn't have that coaching gene.
No.
Or at least there's no evidence of it. And Kellen Moore seems to have that. You know, we know Kitna does. You've got the other guys on staff who have years of experience.
And you can even go back, Tom, to Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman said that Jason Garrett was like having another coach on the sideline.
Yes.
He loved him. He felt like Jason Garrett was his quarterback coach when they played together.
Yes. And so it's really important. And the other thing is, you know, I spoke earlier about how the offensive coordination is going to be a collaborative effort. That was, I think, the real factor in Linehan having to go, because he was not in step. He was not being a useful cog in that machine. He was, you know, like the other term they used besides going into a shell was he dug his heels in.
Yes, like, I know what I'm doing and I got more experience than everybody. No, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, he was stubborn. He was going to prove he could make it work his way no matter what they were telling him and asking of him.
Yeah.
And so now they've got that out of there, which at least has to give you hope that they can make this work, and the Cowboys can get back to being one of those top 10 offenses that you need to have to be able to do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, I want to spend our last few minutes talking about the playoffs. Yesterday, Sunday here, the Rams took on the New Orleans Saints for the NFC Championship. The Rams win, and I just want to know, Tom, what did you think about that call? Or that no call, I should say, for the pass interference at the end of that game.
I'm just sick to death of the referees winding up having a major influence on the outcomes of games. And that was a major one. Now, they missed some calls the other way. That seems to happen in every game. But that one was so egregious. And, you know, the city of New Orleans is not going to forget it. Sean Payton that man was just so upset.
And they called him. They called him right before he went up for his post game, and I just said that takes some inner fortitude to call the coach and tell him you were wrong immediately.
Yeah, and that was.
And there's no correction there, you know, Tom. They do this every week. No. They call teams and say, you know what, we got this wrong. That does not make anyone feel better. They called Dez Bryant afterwards to say about the catch thing. We were off on that. You know, but this is the problem with the NFL, I think, these days, Tom, is that they over-officiate, then they under-officiate. They can't go on both sides. They actually make it worse, make the game worse, because they have to be involved in deciding the game. And that's really something that any official you've ever talked to, I've talked to basketball officials before and referees in general, they say the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to be the person deciding the game. You want to let the players decide the game.
Yeah. And to use a term that's used with players a lot, I think the officials are officiating tight.
Yeah.
They're looking too tight. Their focus is narrowing and they're not seeing the whole game as well. You know, that's the only thing I can figure on the no call in the Saints Rams game, is that they were just so locked on, well, you know, where's his feet? They didn't look to see that the defender was getting there a step too early and making it impossible for him to have a chance to catch the ball. They've got to do something. I think they've got to find a way to review calls like that are potentially game-changing.
I think they should be able to review penalties. I think they should be able to review review it all. Review everything.
Yeah.
Give them replay and review for everything.
It's going to have to be quick. Like I saw someone suggest, they got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And if they can't see something there, then they just have to let it stand.
That's fine.
They also need to maybe simplify the rules a little bit. Give the officials a few less things they've got to take into consideration.
Yes, and there can't be these biases like, you know, last week we see Dak Prescott get hit right in the head, no call. Then yesterday we see Tom Brady get touched on the shoulder, and it's a roughing the passer. It doesn't make any sense, you know. I didn't like it when they were doing it to Cam Newton. I know Cam Newton's not everyone's favorite quarterback out there. But
he got beat to death.
Yes, he was getting beat to death by the Denver Broncos, and they did not ever throw a flag for that. And it's awful because then you're sending guys back out into the game that their mind is not right. They look like they're, you know, don't want to take these hits. They don't want to, you know, occur all over, like all these hits that occur on their body and be out of the football game before, you know, the second quarter. You change the way the game is played when you do stuff this way.
And let's take another thing they could do that, you know, I know some people might want to argue this, but let's say you have an offensive holding call that's away from the play. Mm. You know, you've got a running back going out off left tackle, and the right tackle has a hold on someone who's 20 yards away from the play and was never going to have any effect on it.
Take that out.
Well, why throw that flag? Just tell them, okay, don't, you know.
Because if you really want to, Tom, you can throw a flag on every single play.
Yes, you could. And it's like the old uncatchable ball thing. You know, why call pass interference on a guy if the ball is 10 feet above his head? Why call a holding call that's on the opposite side of the field from where the play actually happens?
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, and in the Patriots game, you know, you had quite a few as well. You had that one we mentioned about Tom Brady, but you also had the no touching on the punt. My gosh. Come on.
And it's part of it has to be for the officials, it's got to be more, what do you see? And does it look like a play, you know? Does it look like a catch? Does it look like a hold, you know? Does it look like pass interference? And then have the backup that they can come in with something to overturn a call, you know?
You know, but they're talking right – I mean, they're talking about it right now about possibly going back after Mike Pereira or going back after Dean Blandino, which I don't see either one of those guys leaving the nice jobs that they have. Come back into officiating because a lot of people don't think that the official from yesterday's game against the Saints and Rams is going to make it past the offseason.
Yeah, but as soon as I can get a call into Roger Goodell, we'll just go up there and we'll fix it for them, right?
Yes, we'll go officiate and we will not be biased at all. I will officiate every single game. Hmm. I'll be like Dana Carvey in that Little Nicky movie. Where he's like, "Get out of here." and just calling all the flags. But that's all we got for you guys today. We just wanted to reach out and talk to you guys about the quarterbacks, coaches, that all the coaches on the Cowboys were former quarterbacks, folks, even on defense. I'm just kidding. No. But we just wanted to talk to you guys about the coaching changes that they have. You got your wish. Scott Linehan is out. You're not going to get your wish with Tony Romo because that would be insane. Even I would go and talk him off that one because, my gosh, do you keep the money? But... Tom, do you got any last words to leave our loyal fans with today?
Hey, it's the off season. We've got free agency coming up. We've got the draft. We're going to have a lot to talk about. And then, you know, before you know it, we'll be rolling into OTAs and you know, mini camp. And, you know, football never stops. And we're going to keep filling your ears with stuff all year long.
That's correct. And you know, I don't want to be a troll here, but I'm going to be a troll because one of my friends, Brock Howard, he left our job, so I have been working a lot of shifts for him, and he's a big time New Orleans Saints fan, okay? And I know, Brock, your team got hosed, but let me tell you something. Drew Brees was the one that threw that interception in the end, like he did in that game against the Cowboys. So that's why you lost the interception. Anyway, Cowboys Nation, we will be back in your ear probably in a week or so, maybe less. You never know with these Cowboys. Something could happen. He's Tom Ryle. Find him on Twitter at TomRyleBTV. Find me at Mr. Sizemore. Find us at Blogging the Boys and at BruisingTheBoys.com for everything Cowboys that you need. Peace.
Bruising the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit BruisingTheBoys.com.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech. Why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.